Hawser walked off quietly. The other drunk, who hadn't noticed the woman until then, got his drink from the flap in the counter in front of him, turned round to talk to his friend, noticed the woman draped across the bar, nudged her and said,
"Hey, you like the cloak? How about I get you a drink?"
Before he left the auditorium, Hawser looked up. The fighting animals would fight no more. Beneath the shining hoop that was Vavatcher's far, and at the moment, dayside, one beast lay in a broad, shallow pool of milky blood, high in the air, its huge four-limbed frame, an X, poised over the proceedings beneath, the dark fur and heavy head gashed, white-flecked. The other creature hung, swaying gently from its trapeze. It dripped white blood, and twisted slowly, hanging by one closed and locked set of talons, as dead as its fallen adversary. Hawser racked his brains, but could not recall the names of these strange beasts. He shook his head and hurried away. He found the players' area. An Ishlor Sinami stood by some double doors in a corridor deep underneath the arena surface. A small crowd of people and machines stood or sat around. Some were asking the silent Ishlor Sinami questions, most were talking among themselves. Hawser took a deep breath, then, waving one of his now useless negotiable account cards, elbowed his way through the crowd, saying, "Security! Come on, out of the way there! Security!" People protested but moved. Hawser planted himself in front of the tall Ishlor Sinami. Steely eyes looked down at him from a thin, hard face. "You," Hawser said, snapping his fingers, "where did that player go? The one in the light one-piece suit, brown hair." The tall humanoid hesitated. "Come on, man," Hawser said. "I've been chasing that card shop round half the galaxy. I don't want to lose him now." The Ishlor Sinami jerked his head in the direction of the corridor leading to the main arena entrance.
"He just left."
The humanoid's voice sounded like two pieces of broken glass being rubbed together. Hawser winced, but nodded quickly and, pushing his way back through the crowd, ran up the corridor. In the vestibule of the arena complex, there was an even bigger crowd. Guards wheeled security drones, private bodyguards, car drivers, shuttle pilots, city police, people with desperate looks waving negotiable cards. Others listing those who were buying space on shuttle buses and hovers running out to the port area. People just hanging around, waiting to see what was going to happen, or hoping that an ordered taxi was about to show up. People just wandering around with lost expressions on their faces, their clothes torn and dishevelled. Others with smiles, all confidence, clutching bulky bags and pouches to themselves, and frequently accompanied by a hired guard of their own. They all milled around in the vast expanse of noisy, bustling space, which led from the auditorium proper to the plaza outside in the open air, under the stars and the bright line of the orbital's far side. Pulling his hood further over his face, Hawser pushed through a barricade of guards. They still seemed concerned with keeping people out, even at this late stage in the game and in the countdown to destruction, and he was not hindered. He looked over the swirling mass of heads, capes, helmets, casings and ornamentation, wondering how he was going to catch Craiglin in this lot, or even see him. A wedge of uniformed quadrupeds pushed past him, some tall dignitary carried on a litter in their midst. As Hawser was still staggering, a soft pneumatic tyre rolled over his foot as a mobile bar touted its wares.
"Would you like a drug bowl cocktail, sir?" said the machine.
"Fuck off," Hawser told it, and he turned to head after the wedge of four-legged creatures making for the doors.
"Certainly, sir. Dry, medium, or..."
Hawser elbowed his way through the crowd after the quadrupeds. He caught up with them, and in their wake had an easy passage to the doors. Outside, it was surprisingly cold. Hawser saw his breath in front of him as he looked quickly around, trying to spot Craiglin. The crowd outside the arena was hardly less thick and rowdy than that inside. People hawked wares, sold tickets, staggered about, paced to and fro, tried to beg money from strangers, picked pockets, scanned the skies, or peered down the broad spaces between buildings. A constant bright stream of machines appeared, roaring out of the sky or sweeping up the boulevards, stopped, and after taking people on, raced off again. Hawser just couldn't see properly. He noticed a huge hire guard, a 3-meter-tall giant in a bulky suit, holding a large gun and looking about with a vacant expression on a broad, pale face. Wisps of bright red hair poked from underneath his helmet. "You for hire?" Hawser asked, doing a sort of breaststroke to get to the giant through a knot of people watching some fighting insects. The broad face nodded gravely, and the huge man came to attention.
"That I am,"
the great voice rumbled. Here's 100th, Horst said quickly, shoving a coin into the man's glove, where it looked quite lost. Let me up on your shoulders. I'm looking for somebody.
All right, the man said after a second's thought.
He bent down slowly on one knee, the rifle in his hand put out to steady him, butt first on the ground. Hauser slung his legs over the giant's shoulders. Without being asked, the man straightened and stood again, and Hauser was hoisted high above the heads of the people in the crowd. He pulled the hood of the blouse over his face again and scanned the mass of people for a figure in a light one-piece suit, although he knew that Kraiklin might have changed by now or even have left. A tight, nervous feeling of desperation was building in Hauser's belly. He tried to tell himself that it didn't matter that much if he lost Kraiklin now, that he could still make his way alone to the port area and so to the GSV that the clear air turbulence was on. But his guts refused to be calmed. It was as though the atmosphere of the game, the terminal excitement of the orbital, the city, the arena in their last hours, had altered his own body chemistry. He could have concentrated on it and made himself relax, but he couldn't afford to do that now. He had to look for Kraiklin.